Good morning, April 26, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's briefing tracks a mix of federal signals on psychedelic drug review, compensation barriers for Purdue opioid victims, and a funding deadline coming up on May 4th. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. We'll start with several media reports getting attention today. Fox News has a report from Seattle on what it describes as the city's open-air drug crisis, with a focus on fentanyl and on activists bailing out alleged criminals. At the national level, the Associated Press reports that the FDA is set to review three psychedelic drugs following a Trump directive. A related signal comes from CNN, which reports that psilocybin and methylone are moving toward a fast-tracked FDA review. Together, those stories suggest federal attention is shifting quickly around psychedelic therapies. Also nationally, the Daily Record reports that many Purdue opioid victims are losing compensation because of documentation hurdles. That is a practical issue worth watching, because administrative barriers can shape who actually benefits from a settlement process. And the New York Times looks at the fast-changing chemistry of new and dangerous drugs, focusing on how illegal labs are producing increasingly potent substances. In the Social Pulse, one lived experience post from Chad Sabora on LinkedIn argues that SAMHSA's new guidance deserves closer scrutiny. The post says that removing support for overdose prevention tools while reframing medication treatment is not a minor adjustment, and says the consequences are significant. On the innovation side, the New York City Office of Tech highlighted round-the-clock access to harm reduction supplies through a vending machine initiative developed with NYC Health to help address the city's overdose crisis. Elsewhere, Pew shared a post emphasizing that drug-checking equipment, including test strips, can save lives by alerting people to fentanyl-contaminated substances and helping people make safer decisions. There is also some visible debate around harm reduction messaging. One post on X argues that providing a safe place for people to inject narcotics can sharply reduce needle stick-related disease and overdose deaths, and says it has been more productive than other approaches in reducing narcotics use. In contrast, another post criticizes Housing First programs, claiming they allow continued drug use around children, and arguing that this is why such programs are losing support. That contrast is a reminder that opposition messaging around housing and harm reduction remains active and emotionally charged. Turning to research, a new qualitative analysis in implementation science communications examines how external and internal context affect the adoption and implementation of evidence-based practices among top performers in the Healing Communities study. Another study, available through UNC Libraries, looks at associations between xylazine adulterated fentanyl and reported overdose events in North Carolina. That is especially relevant for frontline monitoring because xylazine exposure continues to complicate overdose response and surveillance. And in Harm Reduction Journal, a longitudinal cohort study from New York City examines syringe service program use, behavioral factors, and lived experience linked to greater naloxone protection among people who use illicit opioids. On the policy front, Maryland has enacted a law on health insurance coverage for mental health and substance use disorders that codifies federal requirements. In Arizona, a newly enacted law addresses fentanyl possession, sale, amount thresholds, and sentencing. For anyone tracking state-level enforcement shifts, that is one to watch closely in practice. A few funding opportunities also stand out. Two current opportunities have a deadline of May 4th, 2026, so that date is coming up soon. The Bureau of Justice Assistance is offering the fiscal year 2025 Comprehensive Opioid, Stimulant, and Substance Use Site-Based Program, and the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention has the Fiscal Year 2025 Opioid-Affected Youth Initiative, also due May 4th. There is another current opportunity from the Bureau of Justice Assistance. The fiscal year 2025 COSUP Investigations Training and Technical Assistance Program, with a deadline of May 8, 2026. Additional current opportunities listed include rolling applications from the Hearst Foundations in Health and Social Service, each with a minimum grant size of $100,000, as well as the Smart Family Fund's Angel Philanthropy Program for first-time nonprofit grants, ranging from $25,000 to $100,000 through an open pitch process. Looking ahead, future opportunities flagged by the newsletter include active funding opportunities from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, with timing still to be announced, and the AIDS United Harm Reduction Futures Fund, also expected with timing to be announced. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. And one activism item to note, the National Homelessness Law Center is asking for donations to support its Housing Not Handcuffs campaign work. If that campaign is relevant to your work, it may be worth checking whether there is a direct funding or partnership angle for your network. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.